And as we read them, I want you to try and figure out in your own mind the connection between them. It's so easy if you just watch it. First verse is found in Luke 22, Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I want you to take note of that last statement, strengthen thy brethren. Now let us turn over to Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end, ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now let us turn over to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Now, our last reading is found in the last book of the Bible, book of Revelation, chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. But I have not found thy works perfect before God. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses, and I'm sure each of you are sufficiently intelligent the things of God to note a connection between the verses we have read. Let us try and look at them a little now in detail and get the message for our soul. Now, I remind you of that verse which is often quoted. When Paul was writing his letter to Timothy, he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in right living. Now, that being so, you will recall now how that, whether it's from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 and everything in between, the scriptures are profitable. Every scripture is profitable. Sometimes when you read that scripture, or it's read to you, or ministered to you, it may be simply for teaching, for doctrine, or it may be a word of reproof. Or it could be a word of correction. or it may be a ministry of instruction in right living, what God expects from us. Now, with all these things in mind, I'm suggesting to you now, if we take the verses I have read, it comes to our hearts like this. There is a time when that teaching or that instruction is being given is because that God's people need to be strengthened. Strengthened. Now, to strengthen anything means to establish it. If it's to be established. I remember when we used to do quite a lot of tent work. And it might be a nice summer evening, dry and the sun shining, and you met there with a group of men, and they all were working hard, and before long we had the tent erected, all the poles in order, the ropes all tightened up correctly, the canvas right. You lock up the tent and go home, ready for the opening service the next day. But sometimes you'd wake up in the morning, I remember being in one place, house where I was living, and the lady came and wakened me up a bit earlier that morning. They were farmers, so you usually got up about 6, but she was up early that morning telling me, "Mr. McNeil, it's been a bad night." She said, "I don't know what the tent will be like." And I was living about 7 miles from the tent. So I had to have some breakfast and get on the way. Got an old bicycle to get away into where the tent was. Sure enough, it had been a bad night. See, if you know it's going to be rain, you know how to slacken off the ropes. But if you leave your ropes tight at night and there's a heavy rain, well, in the morning, some of your side poles are going to be down. Your canvas is lying. It's an awful mess. Nobody to help me. It took a long time to straighten it up, to establish again the pegs that were round about that were holding it. Some were pulled right out with the wind and the rain that night and storm. You had to go round and strengthen it. Get it back again into its proper position. It's an amazing thing how in those storms, the main poles sometimes get out of line. If you pull them too far one side, tighten up too far the other side and it gets them off, you've got to watch them. You've got to know when to slacken here and tighten there until you get everything properly set again. The thing has got to be strengthened, established. Same with a house. Some of you men who know about building, you know if you haven't got the thing completed and it's there and you take the risk and a heavy storm comes during the night, you might have a lot of extra work to do the next day. And what is true there is just as equally true with regards to spiritual matters. Same thing here as you could get a good illustration in the physical. Now you see, sometimes a child is gripped with some kind of disease. You know what I mean? A little boy goes out into the garden and pulls some green apples before they're ready for eating, and if they're within his hand, he'll get up and he may start and eat those green apples before they're ready. And he doesn't tell his mother or his father, but they're not long in finding out. There's a pain somewhere down at the middle. And they're going to find out. It may be that he needs medicine. Good big spoonful of castor oil or something of that kind. You know what I mean? It works. It's old fashioned, but it works. It may be medicine the child needs, or the child may have been out in the cold and the rain and got a cold, and they need medicine. And the doctor prescribes the medicine. And sometimes God's children need medicine, they need correction, they need reproof. But there are other times a child may not need medicine, it may not be a sickness, but there may be a general weakness. And the doctor says, now, this child will require to have special nourishment. This little boy, this little girl will have to have a special diet in order to be built up. See that they get plenty of milk, or good fresh eggs, so on. They need to be strengthened. Now, says the Lord to Peter, he said, now, and he calls him Simon. He said, Simon, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now, it's obvious from that statement that the Lord knew that what the devil wanted to do was upset Peter, called Simon here, to upset him with regards to his faith. That thy faith fail not. Now let me remind you, and you know this, if you're saved, that when you were saved, that time you were saved, it was the exercise of faith, you remember. By grace are ye saved through faith. But that's just like the child being born. When the child is born, that's not the end, that's only the beginning. The child after it's been born has got to be built up. The child has got to be nourished. The child has got to be fed. Likewise, in the spiritual sense, when one exercises that initial act of faith, from there on, that newborn one has got to be built up in the faith. Now he says, the devil wants to get you and sift you, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now, the idea of the faith failing doesn't mean you lose your salvation, not a bit of it. Peter didn't lose his salvation when he stepped out of the boat. But he was going down because he got his eyes off the Lord, and the Lord lifted him up again. Now he said, look, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you sweet, but when you have turned again, here is a commission I want to give you. Simon, remember this. When you have turned again, I want you to strengthen your brethren. Strengthen them. Now, it's easy to weaken them. I want you to picture a man on crutches. You say, why was the man on crutches? He should have been on his legs. Yes, exactly, that's how he should have been if everything had been normal. But the man had had an accident. And as a result of an accident, he was on crutches. And one day, he's sitting there with a number of other men down in the gardens, public gardens. And there was a boy there who wasn't looked upon as being altogether sound in his thinking. And they used to tease that boy. But he turned to this man this day and he says, you know, Starkey, says, you know what I'd like to do with you? Well, Jimmy, he said, what would you like to do with me? He said, I'd like to come up on your back someday when you're going up the street on these crutches and just put my foot in and pull the crutches out from under you. Now, what would that have done? It would have made him worse than he was before. And you say, but that boy wasn't right in his thinking. No, perfectly right. He wasn't right in his thinking. But you see, there was something in his mind who said, I would like to get revenge on him. I'd like to pull the crutches from him. You see, you don't need to have a lot of intelligence to pull the crutches out from under somebody. But if the man has had a broken bone, it takes a lot of intelligence to know how to reset it. It takes a lot of wisdom to know how to help to strengthen that man, to get him back again to normal things. Now, bring that over into the spiritual sense. It's the easiest thing on earth to knock the crutches out from under a young believer. It's the easiest thing on earth to upset the faith of another believer. Anybody can do that. It's easy to poison someone's mind. It's easy to upset them. But you see, the commission given to Peter was this, Peter, when you have been turned again, I want you to strengthen your brethren. And do you think Peter did it? I'm sure he did. Now watch this. There's a great tendency these days, perhaps not in our circle, but in other circles, and some of you may become influenced by them, and I just want to warn you about it. There's a great tendency throughout this land, perhaps in other lands as well, but throughout this land there's a great tendency these days for people to get together and they hold what they call sharing meetings. You've heard of that, haven't you? And what do they share? Their ignorance. It's about all they're sharing, their ignorance. Sharing meetings. Now watch this. Here's a man who's been an alcoholic. And he's having a difficulty. Another man says, I'll help him, I'll get with him. He says, you know, I'm just like you. I was an alcoholic. Oh, I used to get really drunk, you know. And he starts and goes over his old life, what he was like, what he did, and so on. But you know, I overcame it. And this is how I overcame it. And they call that sharing. That's not sharing, that's knocking the crutches out from under a man. Because if the man can't do what you did, he says, oh, I can't make it. Now he didn't say to Peter, when you turned again, Peter, I want you to have some sharing meetings and tell people what you did. When you come to the Acts of the Apostles and listen to some of Peter's preaching, here were Peter, people, and he charged them with denying the Lord. Who Peter did? Imagine Peter charging some people with denying the Lord. You say, I've never done that. No. But isn't that exactly what Peter did? And if Peter had been having a sharing meeting, he would have said to him, you know, I was just like you. I denied the Lord too, and that's exactly what you're doing. He didn't say anything about what he did. He strengthened. He gave them the truth. Strengthen your brethren. And when they went to a prayer meeting, Peter was there with them. He strengthened them. When they went out to have a meeting on the streets of Jerusalem, Peter stood up and spoke as the spokesman for them. He led them. He was a man who could strengthen his brethren. And he said to them, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, that you may be strengthened. When you're turned again, Peter, strengthen your brethren. Your brethren need to be strengthened. They need to be established in the faith. But now, think for a moment of what Paul said about it. I read to you from Romans chapter 1. He's writing to the church at Rome. Now, there's one thing I always like to keep in remembrance. When you come to Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul never was at Rome at that time. It's true he got to Rome later on, but he wasn't at Rome at that time. He had never been. And by the way, if you look at those verses again, I just was looking at this today again. Let us read some of the verses that surround this particular one that we read. Look at verse 8 of Romans 1. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness. Now you see, that's how you strengthen people. Not by sharing your faults with them, but by bearing witness. See? For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. There's one way that you can strengthen your brethren, praying for them. Making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Now stop there for a moment before we come to the next verse. Has this ever puzzled you? Here's a man and he's praying. And his prayer is this, on the strength of a great desire he has. He has a desire to get to Rome. And his desire to get to Rome has a particular purpose. He wants to get to Rome that it may be for their benefit. Now, because he had that desire, he starts to pray about it. He's making requests. He's asking the Lord, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey. by the will of God to come unto you. That prayer was not answered. Paul did not have a prosperous journey to Rome. You will remember he had a very perilous journey. He left on that ship that became wrecked, and how some of them had to swim, and some of them got on spars of wood. And at that time there was somebody wanted to kill Paul rather than try and let him escape to the island. He had a very perilous journey when he got to Rome. He's praying here that he might have a prosperous journey by the will of God. It was not the will of God that he should have that prosperous journey. And you know something? I'm glad that he didn't have that prosperous journey. For the simple reason, we would not have had some of the writings that we have in the New Testament. But God knew exactly what he was doing with Paul and the way he was leading him. There was nothing wrong with his desire. There was nothing wrong with his prayer. But God had another thing for him. God had another way in which he was going to take him to Rome. But now I want you to notice his desire in getting there. Look at verse 11 now. For I long to see you. Why? That I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. You see, the point is this. Paul knew certain things which he had received by revelation. He knew those truths that the folks in Rome didn't know. And you and I may never have known these things either if it hadn't been that the Holy Spirit caused Paul to write this letter to them because he couldn't get to them at that moment. He writes to them, and the things he writes in this epistle of 16 chapters we may never have had if he had got to Rome the way he wanted to go. But he wrote them this letter first, and later on God took him in his own way, not as a great preacher, but he took him as a prisoner. And he arrived in Rome and he could say after he got there, the things you thought were against me have turned out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. See, God does it his way. But see, the reason he wanted to get there was this, that he may impart something to them, something regarding spiritual gifts, that they may be established. That's the same thought as the Lord said to Peter, strengthen your brethren, that you may be strengthened, that you may be established. You see, again, I come back on this. It's one thing for us to be saved, but that's only the beginning. There's got to be the ministry of the Word of God to build us up. Now that's what Paul said again to the Ephesian elders. I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Brothers and sisters, there's no building up apart from the Word of God. This is it. And if we don't have the Word of God, there will be no strengthening, there will be no establishing, there will be no building up. It's the Word of God. It gets me annoyed, I must admit this. You see, there's some things do annoy me at times. It annoys me when I read something I read just this week. And I've read it often before, and it's been said to me often before, and it just makes my stomach turn. When people say, and I read the King James Version, but it didn't make sense to me, I couldn't understand it, but somebody gave me a New English Translation, and I like that. You take the King James Version and compare it with your New English Translation, and I tell you this will build me up better than the New English Translation. And people would say they can't understand the King James Version, but they like this version or that version or some new modern version, the Living Bible or something of this kind. Let me tell you, the Living Bible is not a translation. And the man who produced the Living Bible admits that. He admits it's not a translation. It's a paraphrase, which is different altogether from a translation. If you want to learn good English, read your King James Version of the Bible. I said this once at a conference a long time ago when we were discussing the pros and cons of the advantages and disadvantages of different translations. I stood up and I said, hey, have any of you men ever heard of anybody suggesting that we should have a revised version of Shakespeare? Even Bob Jones makes it a must. If you're going to study English at Bob Jones, you must read Shakespeare. And the play Shakespeare as well. Why Shakespeare? It's the same English as you've got the King James Version. But it's so good. You've got to learn it. You've got to read Shakespeare if you want to be up tops on English. Well, when it comes to truth, you'll get truth in this 1611 version that will build you up. You can read all the other versions if you like, but don't get away from this one. Bring them back and compare them with this one. Study them along with this one. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Now, says Paul, I want to come, and the truths I have received by revelation, I want to put them into you. I want to pass them on to you, that you may become established, that is, established in the faith. Truth must be passed on. When you come to that scripture in 1 Thessalonians, remember, the Thessalonians were in great difficulty. They were having a lot of opposition from without. The people, the Jews and others in the city were persecuting them. You remember, Paul had to leave there in the midst of the persecution. And then he sent Timothy back. And he tells them the reason why he sent Timothy. He says, I could not bear it any longer. So I decided it was better for me to be alone and to let Timothy come back and travel right up through the country to you. Because I wanted him to come there to establish you, to strengthen you in the faith and to comfort you. Two things he was to do. But he was to establish that. Now that should be the prerogative then of all of us. If we see people who perhaps are shaky, people perhaps who are having difficulties, they need to be established. They need to be taught the things of God. Now, before our time runs out, I want to come over to Revelation chapter 3. Now let's turn to that, the one I read to you, and you'll see how important it is there. There's the seven lessons, seven messages to the churches in Asia that are representative churches. Now you come to chapter 3, it's the church at Sardis. And he says, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works. Now if you stop there for a moment, I know thy works. And this church was a very busy church. Thy works. Oh, they had a big program going. All sorts of things going in Sardis. I know thy works. That thou hast a name that thou livest. Oh, the big name. And thou dead. Buried, as it were, under a dated tombstone. However, there were some there who had not been dragged away. To them he says, be watchful. And strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Strengthen the things that remain. In plain words, here was an assembly, a local church that was drifting. Drifting from the old standbys. Drifting from the paths that had been set before them. It's obvious they were drifting from the truths they had been taught. He said, because you've still got a name to live. They still had a great name. But in spite of the name, you're dead. Now he said to the others, there's one thing you can do. That is, you can be watchful. And as you watch, you can strengthen the things that remain. Now you see, You can't strengthen a corpse. You can put into a corpse all the food and vitamins you can get hold of and inject whatever you like into them. You can't do anything for a corpse. But somebody who's faint and dying, somebody that's weak, you may be able to strengthen. Likewise in the spiritual sense. And here's a picture of the church coming from one age to the other, right down through from Ephesus, right down till you come to Laodicea. But when you come here to Sardis, it says they've still got a great name. We're still called Protestants. We protested. Martin Luther did. He was a great Protestant. What did he protest against? You're not supposed to protest today. Why not? I could have wept tonight. Tell me that old Pope's coming over here in the fall of the year next year. What's he coming here for? Who's bringing him? And he's coming to this land. I wish he would go to Belfast. He would never get out of it again. In fact, he would never get in. I assure you that. Well, what's gone wrong? What's gone wrong? Protestant, a name to live. But it's dead. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean a thing now. In fact, the generation is rising up, they don't know what it means to be a Protestant. They don't know what that is. Old fellow spat at me one day. Ah, he says, you're a Protestant dog. You've never seen that here, have you? You might someday. A name to live, but dead. But thank God we can strengthen the things that remain. There are still some things that have got life. And our job is to strengthen. Brothers and sisters, we still have some distinctives. And if you don't know the difference between the group that meets here and the other denominations, it's time you did. There is a difference. We have distinctives. Go to any other denominational service on Sunday, even if they're having a communion service, so-called. See how they conduct it. You wouldn't be able to take part in it by way of giving out a hymn, or rising and engaging in thanksgiving. Oh no. Our breaking of bread is a distinctive. Strengthen it. Strengthen the things that remain. Strengthen it by being present. It's your privilege, as well as a responsibility, to remember the Lord. Strengthen it by standing by what you believe. Strengthen the things that remain. The teaching of the Word of God. I think it was Barnhouse, who once said, we're living in the days of sermonettes. And these sermonettes are being preached by preacherettes. What are they producing? Christianettes. Small sermons, the small preachers producing small Christians. This was wrong. I remember the days when they started what they called the pleasant Sunday afternoons. Instead of having an afternoon for the ministry of the Word of God, they had to introduce the pleasant Sunday afternoon. And it only lasted a little while and it faded out. There's nothing takes the place of the Word of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to be strengthened.
When you're turned again, strengthen your brethren. That I may impart to you something whereby you may be established. I sent Timothy that he would strengthen you in your faith and comfort you. Now says John to the church, Sardis, strengthen. Strengthen the things that they mean. Don't weaken them. Strengthen. Let's pray. Father, we give thee thanks for thy kindness to us day by day. As the sun rises, thou dost shine upon us with fresh blessings. Thank you for this privilege of being gathered together like this for a time of prayer and for the examination of thy word. O God, you think of every family represented here tonight. Each one has their own peculiar responsibilities, their own special difficulties. We pray for them. May the smile of thine approval rest upon them. Grant that as an assembly we shall be drawn closer and closer together in the bonds of love and unity, that we will be found striving together for the faith of the gospel. Give guidance in all matters. Take each of us home now tonight in safety. Bless us as the week goes on for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen.